by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you get all your sex information. It's your daily sex info place to go for everything you need to know. Okay, you can call us anytime today, 415-992-7392, and we will answer your questions, comments, concerns, anything you'd like to address. So I'm here with Menace. We've both been away for a little bit.
I know. This is the longest we've been apart for a while.
It makes me really sad. I missed you every day.
Yeah, but we needed a vacation from each other.
We did, but now I appreciate you so much more.
Because you were going to kill me.
I was going to kill you. No, I wasn't really going to kill you.
So you went to Michigan.
Yeah, I went to Michigan. It was awesome. It was so good to be with the family. And I kissed a boy.
No, backtrack.
I knew you wouldn't know about that.
It's not that.
My family was awesome. I'll tell you about it. But okay. My family was great. It was so good to be with my nieces. It was really fun. And, you know, when I go home to Michigan, I don't have any friends there really anymore because I moved away a long, long time ago. And so I usually am just with my family. I'm like go back and forth from like my brother's house with my nieces to my mom's house, back and forth. But then my friend's coming home and I got fixed up on a date.
Who fixed you up?
My friend Lisa and my friend Amy, two friends. So they were always like trying to fix me up, right? And I'm like, oh, there's no one in Michigan. Like either I've dated them or someone's dated them or whatever. I haven't lived there in a long time. But there was this one guy who I had a crush on when I was like younger, when I was like 10.
Okay.
And until I was like older, like 18 or something. And then he dated my roommate and then I didn't have a crush on him anymore. But anyway, the point is, it was just coincidence.
Did you go to high school with this guy?
No, but I went to summer camp with him for like 8 years. Okay. And I went to fifth grade and sixth grade, fifth through eighth grade, sat next to him on the first day of fifth grade and had a crush on him, like in fifth grade.
Yeah, but you did. He never gave you a chance back then. Now you're giving him a chance now?
Yeah, why not?
Why would you do that?
Why would I not give? What do you mean?
No, he didn't try to get after you back then.
I was 10.
No, until you were 10?
No, yeah, you said but it was you were like, in, yeah, like 14. Yeah, he said that apparently we did kiss once, but I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said on our date. So my friends were like, oh, my God, David's getting divorced. David's divorced. Do you want to go out with him? And I was like, oh, my God, yeah. I think he's really – I always had a thing for him. So we went out on a date, two dates.
So how'd the date go?
So the date went really well. We went to dinner. We caught up. It was very natural. It was very, very comfortable. And yeah, we had a really great connection.
No, where'd you go? What did you do?
We went to dinner. Like, come on. We went to dinner in Birmingham, which is in Michigan, a little town, and we had just had dinner. And then he went to show me his house that he's building.
Oh, he's showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, here's
the house. Did he show you the master bedroom?
He did?
Yeah.
Did you guys make out in the car?
Hold on, no. One second. We'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, you guys have to know those voices. Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. So he went to his house that he's building.
Right.
Are you sure that this was his house that he was building?
You think he was just like finding a house that under construction?
Guys,
he's like, right here. There's a house under construction. We can go look at it. And I'll pretend it's mine. So you'll think that's really hot. And then you'll suck my penis.
Did you see the paperwork for the house? Or
you wanted me to ask him for like the title or something or whatever it's called?
Yeah, he could just pull up to any.
No, I know him. He's not lying that it's his house. That's just the way your twisted mind thinks.
No, I'm just saying, you should have checked this dude's background. Why is he getting a divorce? Did he talk about that?
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
Does he have kids? Yes, two kids.
Okay.
And he had an affair.
Oh. Sounds like somebody you'd be into.
Exactly.
Okay.
It happens, you know? And so we talked about that and that he had apparently had an affair and cheated on his wife and she found out and...
Oh.
Through the cell phone, of course. I was like, cell phone? He's like, how'd you know? I'm like, dude, that's the way everyone finds everything else. Just delete your text messages.
Sounds like it would have saved you a lot of heartache. Sounds like a quality guy.
I know. That's what my mom said. She's like, don't get emotionally attached. But that's how she talks. So anyway, it's like a Michigan, New York accent. But we ended up having a good time and he's still cute. You know those people that you had a crush on when you're younger and then you see him again and you still like kind of have feelings?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then we went to his house and I guess we kind of kissed for the first time in his house. His house, which might not be his house.
Yeah.
And then, we talked about, it was fun. We caught up, whatever. But there was definitely, like, chemistry. So it was good.
All right.
It's been a while. So I haven't told you in a while. So now he's coming out to visit.
No, he's
yes,
not.
Yes, he is. He's
serious?
Coming to visit.
Can he be on the show?
That'd be
amazing. I'd love to talk to him about his cheating life.
Wow, no, I don't think he wants to talk about that on the air.
Why not?
But you could talk to him about other things, like going out with me on a date or something, because I'm sure
that's
you love
boring.
Grilling your...
I don't care about that.
Oh, menace. But, yeah, so he, that's everything that happened. So it was a really good trip. But besides that, it was fun, cool. Family.
So
yeah.
When's this guy coming out?
I don't know.
Don't know.
We talked about it. Maybe he'll come out soon. He's like, I really want to come visit. I'm like, great, come visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got one guy that you might fall in love with.
I don't know about that. Let's
you said
not.
You were in love with him at one time, right?
I had a crush on him. There's a very big difference between being crushed and being in love. I just thought he was cute. And then I just found our picture from fifth grade, and I wrote babe. Like, you know, it was a class photo, and I wrote babe over his photo, like my little 10-year-old handwriting. So I always thought he was cute. It's
well, you have
funny
to have
photo.
Sex with him now, though.
Why? Do you think if he comes here, I have to have sex with him?
Yeah, because if you have a crush
he's flying
on
cross
him,
country.
Oh, well, yeah. If a guy flies cross country, he's looking to get laid.
Like, for sure, right?
For sure,
he's
yeah.
like, he's not like, oh, I hear they have great restaurants in San Francisco.
Yeah. If he gives you that line of bullshit, then.
Right. He's like, I always wanted to go to Alcatraz. Like, not that. Like, he's no. I want to bone you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that could happen.
Well, that would be the third date because people have sex on the third date.
Usually, third or fourth date.
Yeah. You went on, what, two dates?
Already? Yep, two dates. No okay. sex.
Third date. Done deal. It's
done deal. I don't know. That's weird.
He's going to fly
but he's
going to
be here. What if it's not good and then he's here? What if it's like bad sex?
But he has a plane ticket home, so that's...
True. Maybe he can make it earlier.
Yeah.
I can be like, I think they fly every day, this airlines. So yeah, and how was your trip? I loved your picture of the vodka for breakfast.
Yes. I had a great time in Las Vegas. I drank a lot of alcohol. I went to some clubs.
Shock.
Had a lot of food. I gained probably 15 more pounds.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I stayed at the Cosmopolitan, which is this
brand new cool.
Town. It's amazing.
And you were there with a chick, so I can't ask if you hooked up with anyone. Was it fun?
I had sex.
You had sex with her. Good.
Yeah, of
course. Well, I assume. I don't know. But I never, you're always so ambiguous about it. Like, I don't ever know exactly what's happening.
I was, so wasted that I had sex on the balcony of the 34th. First floor at 4 a.m.
That's hot.
So I don't even know if people are watching or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
They probably were. I've had sex on a hotel balcony too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The second floor?
No. No, I think it was a higher floor. It was in Hawaii once. But Menace, I think most of your sex is blackout sex. I'd like you to try to have not blackout sex. Just once.
No, I do that occasionally.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I just thought that's something to put in your repertoire.
But I like to make it an event. You know, you just like to have sex whenever, whatever. You know, I like to, have a party. And
have
then
a party
have
and just be wasted. Right. Yeah. I got it. Well, I'm just saying it's something to think about. Sober
okay.
sex.
All right.
Just, put it in your.
Maybe. Sometime.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Anyways.
Okay, we've got a special guest here today. We have Reed Mihalko. Hi, Reed.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Yeah, awesome.
This
so
is
he
the first time that we're meeting.
I know. We've never met. It's awesome. I've heard so much about you.
I hear about you, too.
Uh-oh.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff. I hear good stuff about you, too. Yeah. So Reed's website is Reed, R-E-I-D, about sex. Read about sex.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's clever. You've got a great website.
Thank you.
And he's a sex educator, sex expert. We're going to talk about polyamory, tantric sex, whatever you want to talk about.
Dating, all kinds of
dating,
stuff.
Dating, relationships. And you kind of do it all.
I get around.
Right. That's what I heard too.
I'm a little bit of a sex geek. And just in you guys talking about stuff, I have so many questions.
Oh, okay. Go. Mm-hmm. We're just free flowing.
Yeah. Well, no, you can start. I don't want to.
No, what were you going to ask? Just go.
I'm interested in for you, what's your species in dating? Like, what are your rules for dating? Like, divorced guy, long distance relationship.
Perfect.
Building a home.
Love it.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I'm
wet. No, building a home, not wet. That kind of stuff doesn't turn me on. Like I would.
But
I mean,
he's setting up shop there. Are you moving to Michigan?
No,
back home
I'm not moving
soon?
Back to Michigan. No way.
So
I moved away so long ago.
With this guy.
So I'm wasting my time, is what you're saying.
I'm curious,
but it's just
because he had a crush.
She's on a vacation fling. That's all.
It was
that's
a fling.
Totally. Vacation sex is great.
I love vacation sex. And I love vacation relationships. Vacation relations is what I call long-distance relationships because you're always on vacation. When you're in a long-distance relationship, you're always on a vacation. Vacation relation. So I think.
Did you guys talk about this?
No.
No.
It's on our second date. You think she's going to
I'm not like,
life...
well, I really think the master bedroom should be over here.
Yeah, let's make life plans.
No. Well,
was that how you roll?
No, you fall
in love on the second date?
No, but
he rolls with being clear and focused on the first date and like laying out all your cards and what you want.
I have met people at conferences, when I'm teaching or at bars where I will walk up to them. Because I know when I get like the butterflies, I'm like, ooh, there's something about this person. You're shiny and sparkly. I will go up to people usually because I need to know if they're a sex geek. You know, I'm a queer polyamorous slut. Like, if you're conservative, Christian monogamous want to have kids in 2 years. I'm the devil to you.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I need to find this out immediately before we go any further, if you're my species or not. You know, so I have certain rules and bottom lines and guidelines that just make my life a lot easier.
What are those rules?
Well, the first thing, if you're monogamous and want to have kids, like we can hook up, but I can't date you.
Right. You don't want kids.
No. And I'm not monogamous.
Right.
So I'm only going to cause you angst. Like, I need to date people that are thrilled that I'm as slutty as I am.
Right.
You know, or else it's just not going to work, because eventually if we fall in love, you know, and there's lots of studies now that kind of, some MRI studies that are great, where they basically, the brain centers that are active when you're in love are the same brain centers that are active when you're hooked on cocaine.
Yep. I've seen those studies. It's like you're going mad. Like you're addicted.
You're not able to make rational decisions. You're addicted. And so I need to find out if we're a good fit, so that if we fall in love and start making irrational decisions, 2-3 years later, when the love chemistry wears off, you and I might actually be able to salvage a relationship out of this, because we're already a good fit. So I'm the person that, like, and I have, you know, make out in the dude's home.
Right.
You know, awesome. But at the same time, like, if he's flying here and expecting to, like, use you for, oh my God, like, I've crushed on her since fifth grade, you know, and he's rebuilding his life with you, and you're like, no, this is vacation sex.
Right.
I think it's,
so that's the kind of stuff you talk
know.
About, right? But you're saying your whole thing is like, what's your species? Like, I saw that on your website. That's kind of your thing,
yeah, date
right?
Date your species.
Date your species. What do you mean by that exactly?
Finding people who are a good fit for you.
Like, how do you do that?
You ask them questions.
So do you have like a whole thing of questions that...
He wants to know what your list is. What's your list? The qualities that you look for.
What are your rules for dating? And I'm sorry to like I'm coming in and I'm like running your show right now, but like I'm...
No, my rules for dating are... I mean, I have rules like you should be honest, you should be open to them about what you want. I do believe that you have to talk about what you want, but not on the first or second date.
Why not?
I know that you people think that you should.
I walk up to people and I'm like, what, you know, do you want to hear my safer sex elevator speech?
My what?
My safer sex elevator speech. That's a really, I'm a big fan of, you should be trying to scare people away.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm a big fan that you should be trying to scare people away from the get-go, because the ones that you don't scare away are the ones who – that's a great place to start.
So
it's kind of radical, but I think a lot of people are running into these issues in their relationships because they're falling in love with perfectly good people that are horrible fits for them.
Right. We all do that. I've been doing that for a really long time.
Yeah.
So – I think it's interesting. So what you're saying is that I'll tell you about my rule. I mean, my rules are just barely, really like basic, but I live by like, you know, like how I do in all my relationships. Like, I think that you have to be like honest and open about what you want. I think you have to pay attention to red flags. You have to pay attention to what, because people are who they are,
so
and they show themselves.
So what are some of your
they
red
show
flags?
Them like someone who drinks way too much, mm-hmm. parties way too much, hates his mother, hates his job, hates his life, like not passionate about something.
Okay. So they don't get the second date.
No, she loves keep on going on dates with them.
My
yeah.
past,
she'll never cut it off. Like,
okay.
When have you ever cut it off after the first date, even though you know it's terrible?
Okay, I got to be honest. I'm not great at cutting it off after the first date, but it's something that I'm working on.
Okay,
because I think that I've approached my dates in a lot of ways from my head, not from my heart, and that's something I've been working on as well.
Yeah.
Where I can intellectualize my way into a relationship. I used to do this. I haven't done this in a long time, but okay. I used to be like, oh, well, maybe he's so great, he's so this, and that could work. But I'm not feeling. I'm just more like thinking about it. So I think I could just be like, well, it wasn't so great. I didn't want to rip his clothes off across the table, but I'll go out with him again. And that's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Usually. Right?
And you waste their time.
Exactly.
Because, and this is the thing, like, I mean, my advice is radical. Most people, I think, relationships are going to be work anyway. They're going to be good days and bad days. You know, a car driving up a hill, the engine works harder. That's normal. Most people in their relationship and dating lives are driving around with the parking brake on. There's extra effort that doesn't need to be there. And if you do that all the time, like, you don't notice the smell.
Right.
Of your brake pads, you know, wearing down. Your
right.
friends get in the car like, what's that smell? And you're like, what smell? It's always been like this. I'm just going to try harder. And we don't need that extra effort.
So you think that people don't talk about this stuff because they actually don't know it, or they don't want to rocket the boat?
They either don't know it because they weren't role modeled it as kids, you know.
Which most of us were not.
Yeah, my mom and dad never sat me down and was like, read, this is how your father and I figured out what our rules are in relationships.
Right.
Like, they don't do that.
No.
And then most people are just trying to be loved and appreciated. And the metrics for love in our society, like success, is still duration. And that's the wrong metric. You know, it's like we prove the relationship was worthwhile and our love was strong by making sure it lasts longer.
Right.
And that basically means that you're just going to, like, wear it into the ground until your brake pads, you know, wear down. And then the car just doesn't stop and you crash into a building.
Well, the problem is she knows what she wants.
What do you want?
She knows.
He thinks that I want to be in a polyamorous relationship.
You do. Just give it up already. That's what you want.
I think that I've been exploring it.
I may. How can I help?
Help me. Okay. I just think that I typically have been in monogamous relationships that didn't really work.
Okay. Why didn't they work?
For a lot of reasons. Because I think they didn't work because I always got restless. And
you like to bang a lot of people.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I...
Do not be exclusive. You're very afraid of being exclusive.
I'm afraid. Yeah, okay. I'm afraid of being exclusive. And I always felt like I got pressured into every relationship or like they were like, we really want to commit. And I'm like, really already? Like, I hate the boyfriend-girlfriend terms. Mm-hmm. I hate all that stuff. Makes me like itch. I'm uncomfortable. So, so I've been exploring it and having people like you on the show and talking and reading, going to workshops, all that stuff. But I haven't really been with anyone who has.
So I'm just here for you to suck my brain dry?
Exactly. I'm sucking your brain.
Oh, my God.
Do you mind if I suck your brain? I do that to all my guests.
I like brain sex.
I suck their brains. Okay. So, okay.
So I'm here for brain sex.
Yeah, brain sex. I love brain sex.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, no, it's for my listeners.
Stay thirsty,
it's not just for me.
Friend.
This is not just for me. This is for our listeners.
This is for your listeners.
It is. But I think that men seem to think, and I don't think that I've totally, because I think it has to do with the, I guess, you know what? Maybe I have flawed way of thinking that I thought, like, I'll meet somebody. I feel like it's about another person. Like, I would meet somebody and then we would make our own relationship happen in whatever way. But yeah,
be the change you want to see in the bedroom.
Exactly.
Like, if you're waiting for somebody
else to do it. Be the person you
want
to find, all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's not even cliche, but, like, I mean, it is a cliche. It's said all the time. But the idea that you actually have to start saying no to things to start finding your yeses. And the idea that when you start to, even if you just hazard a guess, so I think I'm non-exclusive, I think I'm, you know, non-monogamous or monogamish, you have to start implementing that. So that means, like, for me, when I meet somebody that, oh my God, you're awesome, and they're like, yeah, I'm monogamous, I'm like, have a great day.
Right.
Nah, see...
Well,
where the problem comes in, because she won't say have a great day.
Well, and
she'll stay.
But this is the thing, like, I'm not even saying, like, I'm
because I haven't totally committed to that's what I want.
Well, you have to try.
I did try.
And I'm not telling you to be poly. I'm not saying polyamory and non-monogamy is more evolved.
Right.
I'm saying you know, fine, if relationships are music, we all went to conservatory. You know, classical music, monogamy is what we were taught.
Exactly. That's all we were taught.
And, you know, you might roomed with somebody at conservatory who was this great classical musician who just loved classical. It just came out of them. They couldn't get enough of Bach. But you're a jazz musician, but you don't know it because nobody gave you permission.
Right.
So until you say, I'm going to try being non-monogamous and actually trying it out, it's really hard to figure out, you know,
right,
what makes you happiest. And sometimes you have to try something out to be like, wow, that's not me. And people don't give themselves that permission. If you're monogamous, I want you to be monogamous.
Right.
Because you will make a monogamous person very happy. You know, so date your species.
Right. That's what you mean by date your species, going back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a slut. My life works really well when I date sluts. They get it.
How do you find them?
I will show you.
Okay.
I don't like when you do that with the whole deep voice thing. It's frightening.
It scares you.
Yeah. Like, how do you even pick up on people by doing that?
But that's the thing, is the people that find me silly and goofy. Yeah.
Those are the ones you like. People who like his deep voice.
Because I'm a goofball. Like, I am I'm the golden retriever on espresso of sex and relationships geeks. Right? If you need a serious person who's really intense, like, I'm not going to make you happy.
Right.
Like, I'm the one cracking jokes in bed.
So how many people are you sleeping with right now?
Well, nobody.
Not at this moment, but in your orbit.
In my orbit, I got tested yesterday.
Awesome.
And the clinician was like, "So how many partners do you have right now?" And I'm like, this month,
right?
Or like in usual, I said 28 last
this month.
Night.
This month, 28.
I think I have if you look at my love life, like it's an electron, there's the nucleus and then there's all the electron shells orbiting around it. You know, it's an atom. I probably have about 28 electrons.
Right.
And then there are other atoms that come by sometimes and we form a molecule or.
Now, right. This is like 28 on your contact list that you can just call.
There's
anytime.
More than that, but I'm
well,
just.
28, like.
There's at least 28 people that I see
regularly.
Every year.
Okay, and now these 28 people know what's going on?
I will not sleep with somebody unless they know, because it's unethical. It's unethical of me to sleep. I sleep with so many people that
And you
sleep
with men
that.
And women?
Yes.
Right.
Now, it's hard for me when I find men that I really want to get it on with. Mostly it's women, but every once in a while, yes.
Okay, got it. So all these women you're with are like, they're also sluts or polyamorous too?
Yes.
Or they just say, but don't you find the ones who are like, oh yeah, I'm totally polyamorous, but then they fall in love with you?
Yeah, and then I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Right.
What, do you think I was lying to you
when I told you
all these things?
It's important to tell what you want.
Yeah.
So how do you find the sluts?
Menace is like, sign me up. Can I have some
no,
of this contact?
I'm just asking.
No, well, I mean, for me, they're usually sex geeks, so I find them. I find my lovers and my friends from other lovers and friends. Also, professionally speaking, you know, when I'm teaching at conferences and things like that, like that's kind of how my social networking happens. You know,
and then the people who are attending your conferences are obviously more open to.
Well, yeah, and then I'm like
polyamory.
This is what's interesting is people when they look at me are like, "Wow, Reed, you just talked to that person for 5 minutes and then you hooked up." But what they don't understand is in that 5 minutes, the conversation that we're having, I'm going through a lot of information and vetting whether they're a good fit or not. I don't take my casual sex casually, so. What they don't see is the other 50 people I talk to, and I'm like, oh, you're awesome, but this would be a horrible idea for us to get it on.
Right.
You know, but they see me have a 5-minute conversation and pick somebody up, and everyone already knows I'm very promiscuous. So like, oh, there's Reed doing his thing. He sleeps with everybody. Technically, no.
Technically, yes.
No, because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be sleeping with somebody if I slept with everybody.
You probably just slept with someone this morning, and then you were a little late, so. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I didn't have sex this morning.
You
did.
I'm
saving myself.
My friends in the gay community
you
say,
are.
Though, it's.
For me? Mm-hmm. He's saving himself for me.
Yeah. Maybe
perfect.
You too, Menace. I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
No, Menace wouldn't. Menace needs to be wasted, and you need to have a vagina.
Yeah, drunk sex is hard for me.
Yeah, me
like
too.
Like super drunk sex. Like,
I don't
I like...
get that drunk.
Good.
Yeah. I'm not a big drinker.
My friends in the gay community tell me, though, it's just a look. It's not really a conversation. They say, I just look. Over across the club or the bar, and then we just leave.
Yeah, but that's more.
It's like 5 minutes into the being there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like that. I in certain situations, I can be like if we're in a play party environment where things have already been kind of set up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, if I'm looking for community ultimately, like, even if we just have a casual hookup, you know, I'm getting to know you. Some people love having deep conversations with people. Right?
Oh, that's so boring.
Yeah, but I love having those deep conversations with my body.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get to know each other. But at the same time, I'm also trying to figure out, like, are we a good fit for being friends and fuck buddies? And not everybody's a good fit.
Right.
And I don't want to risk you and I having a really powerful physical experience. And now all of a sudden we start imprinting on each other and falling in love. And then we start making kooky, unrational decisions. And then it's 3 years later when the love drug's worn off that I realize that we're a bad fit. But socially, we have to wait for the train wreck for us to get out.
He sounds similar to me in some ways because I believe that the love hormone, whatever, runs out after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just kind of like silently suffering through monogamy. And then you had kids at that time. So then you got to like not have sex because of the kids.
It's that's not how you think of every single relationship.
But I think it's kind of true.
But it's not just monogamy. There are people that are suffering through polyamory.
Yeah,
there's
no, right. That's what I was saying before you came in. That all relationships take work and you suffer in all relationships. And you have great joy in all relationships too. But to say that like polyamory is any harder than monogamy, I think is false. Hard is hard.
No,
struggles
relationships
are
hard.
Relationships are hard,
period.
No matter what.
Like, they're work. So show up to work hard. But if you're doing, you know, it's like, you know, if you love math, and calculus is kicking your ass, you still love math, you know. For but people date your species so that you're in the math class that you want to be in, so that even when it's hard, you're like, this is hard, but I love it.
People have to do work though around figuring out what their species are, right? And that's what you're.
So
what
do you think your species are? Yeah, that I teach a lot of different things. Like, like today I'm teaching a kissing workshop. Like,
oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the species. You're just asking me what my species are. I just think I'm attracted to and who I'm. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that I have. I'm sure I have a species, but it's since
what
I'm still trying to figure out.
Actually, can we go from the beginning? Can you ask her what her species is?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So what do you think your species is then?
I've never really thought about that. I mean, I guess I don't know. Think that I have a type. Isn't that kind of like what you're asking in a way, or like what kind of guys do I date? All different kinds of guys.
Like what are the main qualities? See, this is she dodges it all the time.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not dodging.
You're not dodging. It's not dodging if people haven't really thought about it this way.
Yeah. What's your species?
I can tell you right now.
What?
I want to be in an exclusive relationship, okay? I want somebody that's a hard worker, that has their own thing going on, that works as much as I do. Black hair, not a blonde. That's like three qualities right there.
That's great.
Can you come up with one?
Yeah. I just already said earlier, I like someone who is passionate about their life, passionate about something in their life. Like, they're not like miserable. They're not the victim. They're like have a good heart. Tall. I like tall. That's my superficial trait. But I do short if I have to.
Okay.
And that's good family, likes his family, like doesn't hate his mom or like, you know, doesn't, it's just like all around like good, like not a mean person.
So this is what, this could be why you're falling in love or dating good people.
Really
good
people.
Who are bad fits for you.
Right.
Like it used to be for our great grandparents, if you married a good person.
Right.
And they didn't beat you or drink too much.
Right.
Then, oh my God, you got off lucky.
Right.
If you have good kids. And they're healthy. And your kids have good kids. And you're still together. You win at the game of life. Right? That's not what we need now in relationships. The reasons why we stay together are a lot more complex. So you need to make your decisions be a little bit more complex, or else you're just rolling the dice. Not that people don't fall in love with somebody who's a good fit for them, never having done the homework. But if you're not doing
the homework.
So, like, here's an idea. How do you, like, do you like shoes?
You love shoes.
It's a loaded question to ask a woman.
I'm obsessed.
So you'll just buy any kind of shoe. As long as it fits right, as long as it's comfortable to walk in.
5-inch heels.
Oh, we'll say more about that. Why are you so specific?
4 to 5-inch heels.
But a good pair of flats is a decent shoe.
Uncomfortable.
It'll get you anywhere.
I can't walk in flats. I fall in flats.
Okay. So why aren't you being specific in your relationships? Because basically you're dating a perfectly decent pair of flats and you're not happy and it's not their fault. And then you take it out on them subconsciously.
I know what you're saying. And I don't take it out on them, but I know what you're saying. Because I feel like I blame, most people blame the other person in relationships, but I feel like I do blame myself. Because I feel like most people, actually people I've dated, they're not evil, they're not wrong, they're not bad guy. It's just a matter of like not a good fit. But I think when I was younger, I used to be like, well, he's this and he's that and these are all the problems. But I think that if it's not really what you want, it doesn't mean that something's wrong with that person. It's more like me, myself.
So, like, what are your bottom lines? Like, how do you know, what are the things you would never do in a relationship or somebody where you'd be like, wow, like, we're done. Like, we're breaking up right now. Like, what are some of your
bottom
lines?
Someone hit me.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. I don't need the excuse as to why you hit me. We're done. Please get your CDs and move.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's what we pinpointed, though, is that she's afraid to tell people up front these things, right?
Well, yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But this is another therapy session? Jesus. No, so much therapy.
But your relationships, your dating will become more fun.
I agree.
And
I totally think
have so much
useful.
More ease when you start, like, you will define most of your dating life by what you say no to, which is a radical conversation, especially for women in this culture, because we're all afraid we're going to be alone.
Right.
You know, and then my next question as a sex geek is, well, do you have community of friends around you?
Yeah.
Where you're getting a lot of your
monkey
needs met.
See, I do. This is what I'm saying. I have the most amazing friends, very close group of friends. I don't feel like alone. I'm not afraid I'm going to be alone because mm-hmm. I have so many. I've recreated my family in San Francisco. Okay. And so I don't ever feel lonely or alone. Yeah. I feel like it'd be nice to meet someone, whatever. But I don't. I feel like I'm always going to have that in my life. Like, I get that.
So okay, and now we think that you might want to explore or be non-monogamous, like intentionally non-monogamous.
Right, intentionally.
Okay, which means you should probably be vetting for and looking to date or, you know, go on, for coffee with people who are already non-monogamous.
Right.
Well, see, here's the hitch. This is the hitch right here. You ready?
I'm just going to step out.
You ready for the hitch?
Yeah.
Okay. She wants to be polyamory, but the person that she's polyamorous.
Yeah.
But the person that she's dating,
this is
can't
not true.
Date anybody else.
That's not true. Menace made that up.
That, no.
But you can find that.
Come on.
Honey, I've never said
true?
That. It's not true.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It can't be possible.
Am I going to find some guy who's like, cool, go out and bang whoever. I'm just going to be home here, you know, watching sports.
I know some of them.
That's the guy that you
like,
want.
Like, they're out there. That really what you're talking about is a poly-mono relationship.
That's what you want. You want
that's
the guy
not what I want.
That will be exclusive to you.
She doesn't know what she wants yet.
And she'll sleep with anybody who would
date a slut like me?
Would I date you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Okay. I'm flexible.
So here are some of the other questions, right? Like, if we're going to have, like, okay, so now we're vetting each other,
uh-huh.
right? Because for me, I want to vet you before I go out on
a
date.
Right, right.
It's just easier. And I think a lot of people think dating for them is when they start the conversation, or it's like the third date is when we start the conversation if we should really be trying to look at each other for a relationship. So you first find out if you're dating for fun, like if you're dating just because you like social interactions, you like people, you're a people
right.
geek, or if you just want to have, you know, sex with nice people, or are you dating to find out if you're looking for somebody for partnership?
Right.
You know, like, know those things. Like, why are you even dating?
Right.
And then asking this is why I bring it up really quickly when I'm dating people or looking to date them. When I tell you all the scary stuff about me, then I go, what about you? And what you say in those next 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes tells me volumes about how self-aware you are, where you are in your own relationships, what you like, what you don't like. So I want to that's the quickest way for me to find out your emotional IQ. And I don't need people to be perfect, but I need people to be self-aware.
Right.
Or else what are we doing? I'm having a relationship or going on a date with a zombie. And if I'm like playing therapist, you better be paying me.
Right. No, I agree. I need someone. And that's another one of my bottom line. Someone who's done his work on himself, knows who he is.
Yeah, but you're not self-aware. You're afraid of giving yourself the answers.
Being afraid is different than...
I'm so self-aware.
Okay, but you're afraid to be true to what the answers really are.
Well, because culture's not giving her permission.
My culture's not giving me any permission.
To be monogamous or any of that stuff. And I'm sitting here. Like, so back to dating me. Would you date somebody like me?
I don't really know yet. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the fact that I will occasionally bang dudes, it doesn't bother you? Or ideally is like, I think that's hot.
I don't think that's hot.
What if me and another dude were banging you?
That'd be hot.
That would be hot.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay.
I'd be down with that.
So you would have a better chance of having...
Oh,
there are a lot
Many
of people,
people
that don't want threesomes.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't want to do that.
And that's the thing, is like, it's okay not to like stuff. Like, you're, and sometimes the only way you know is, well, I have to try it. Because why? I've never tried it. And like, wow, like a guy-guy-girl threesome, not my thing. Mm-hmm. You know? But if you're sitting there like as a sex and relationship geek and you're like, that might be my thing, then it's really helpful if you date people.
I wouldn't
people.
Say no.
Yeah. You'd be willing to explore.
For sure.
Okay. And the fact that I have a lot of partners doesn't turn you off?
No.
Okay. Does it turn you on?
No.
No. Okay. That's really good to know. So already there, like, you and I would need to have a more conversation about that because I...
But it doesn't turn me off or on. I'm just kind of like, oh, that's who you are. Like,
yeah.
I just...
But if we're going to date for like 2 or 3 years, like, I'm sleeping with like
hundreds
20
of
to
people.
100 people
hundreds
a year.
Hundreds of
yeah.
people.
Like you're going to have to step up if you want to keep up.
No, it's not. It's
it's not about that. Well, explain to me your relationships. Walk me through, like, do you have a primary partner?
I have a primary partner. Her name's Allison.
And you've had her for a long time?
Yeah. She and I have been together for almost 5 years now.
Okay. And how does it work? Break it down. Do you live together?
Yeah, we live together.
Okay.
We share a space. We share a lot of friends and lovers. You know, we both sleep with the same people.
Okay.
I'm more slutty than she is. She's kind of like slut light.
Right.
And, you know, she's used to identify as a lesbian. Now she's just queer. You know, I'm queer.
Right.
You know, every once in a while she's attracted to a dude, but mostly it's women. So
but she's attracted to you, obviously.
Yeah.
And how often do you guys have sex living together after 5 years?
Oh, a couple of times a week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, unless I'm on the road, you know.
And right. Then,
so, I mean, at least.
So you, do you call that, is that your girlfriend? Or is that your?
Yeah, she's my partner. She's my primary partner.
Your partner.
Do you fill her in on all the, like, 28 people that you slept with last week?
She's usually around when I'm sleeping with the 28 people.
And she doesn't care.
I mean, sometimes she has jealousy. But
right, because jealousy comes up, which is a big thing,
yeah,
you know.
Well, it's not even a big thing. Like, it's normal.
Totally, right.
Like, and our culture's like, oh, jealousy. It means something's wrong with your relationship. It's not something's not wrong. It's wrong if it's destroying your relationship, but jealousy's normal.
Right.
Envy's normal. People get jealous, you know, in the workplace about somebody getting a promotion. That doesn't
right.
mean you're in the wrong job.
Right. I agree. Jealousy's totally normal. You have to learn. Then that's one of the big things, that challenges for being in a polyamorous relationship, I think, is jealousy comes up way more.
It's challenging in monogamy.
It is challenging monogamy. You're
you
right.
Know,
you're
I approach jealousy like it's asthma. Know your triggers, learn how to avoid your triggers, or, you know, get inoculated
it's
to
those so
triggers.
True, knowing your triggers. I think that's so smart yeah. with jealousy. Like, because people are triggered over different things. Like,
absolutely.
I'm never jealous about other women. That's just my thing. Like, I never think, oh, I wish I could be like her. Why does he like her? But maybe I'll get jealous if, like, he doesn't call or said he would not jealous or I were like I'll think oh what's he doing like he's not it's ego it's all ego mm-hmm. mostly but
you've never gotten jealous ever
not really I mean
never
I've gotten jealous if like not because I think this woman or this person was like better or whatever or, like hotter or cuter I don't think like that I feel like my mind doesn't go to jealousy it really doesn't like that's mm-hmm. not like a primary thing for me like in relationships I'm usually pretty open and like whatever I'm confident enough but I've been jealous very few times in my life. Maybe I'm just out of touch with it. I'm pretty, like, open. Like, I'm trusting, yeah. and I'm open, and I'm like, mm-hmm. the more, you know, more yeah. the merrier. I don't get jealous, no.
All right.
Is that weird?
You must be the only woman on the planet that
it's
no, I'm
that
sure
never
I have.
Gets jealous.
But that thing is, like, everyone's different. Like, this,
yeah.
it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. Some people don't get jealous.
You met a person that never gets jealous?
I don't get jealous very often, which is problematic.
But
because
you do.
When jealousy does come up, it like wreaks havoc on me because I'm not used to it coming up all the time. People who get jealous all the time can actually learn how to navigate
exactly.
it. And like their jealousy muscles are kind of well
right.
known.
It's a muscle. It totally
yeah.
is a muscle. You have to learn how to deal with it. And I like what your triggers are. Yeah,
but we don't
what your
talk about
are.
It like that in our culture. And this is the beginning of it. Like you need to talk about sex and relationships more. With the people that you're potentially looking to date.
Hi, can you talk to Emily? I have a question for her.
This is Emily.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if you were in a poly relationship, would you ever worry that your significant others would get jealous of each other?
Would my significant others get jealous of each other?
Yeah,
they probably would. I would think that would happen. But it's something that you have to work on.
You think they would fight over you?
No, I think that jealousy could occur in that situation. Sure. Anything's possible.
Would you keep them separate?
Well, you know, in the past I have. Like, when I've done my polyamory thing, it was more like an open relationship. It was like we were dating other people, but he didn't want to know about anyone I was dating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Don't
so it wasn't don't ask,
don't
tell, which doesn't work.
Repeal.
So,
repeal that.
I'm sorry, tell me your name.
Lola.
Lola. That's a good name.
Do you think it would affect your long-term relationships with any of them?
Do I think it would affect my long-term relationship? What do you mean, if they got jealous?
Yeah, like you could have one long-term relationship with one of them, but other ones might kind of rotate through because they might get jealous.
Yeah, I think anything's possible.
Can I speak to
yeah.
the jealousy piece? Hi, Lola, it's Reed. The jealousy piece, I think, is really usually about or indicates that there are other needs in the relationship for them that aren't being met or haven't been expressed. So the idea of when people are feeling jealous, you know, do they have the emotional IQ and the courage to tell you, I'm feeling jealous? And then, you know, to try to work through, like, what's going on? Like, what's the need underneath? Like, am I feeling insecure about our relationship? You know, then I can offer, can you give me reassurance that things are fine? You know, when you start to break down what your needs are and be able to speak up and get some of those needs addressed, not always from your partner.
Right.
Sometimes from your community or your other lovers, then there's a tendency for jealousy to kind of, subside.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Thanks, Lola. We've got another call coming in. Okay.
Sorry.
Hi, you're on the Sex with Emily show. Who's calling?
Hi, Emily?
Yes.
Hey, I have a question for you. My name's Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you masturbating right now? You seem long-winded.
I'm wondering, do you believe in a polyamorous lifestyle?
Do I believe in it?
Yes.
Absolutely, I believe in it. I believe that it exists in the world. What do you mean, do I believe in it? Yes, for myself.
Do you believe it works?
Yeah, I do believe it works. I believe it works for some people, and I believe it doesn't work for other people. Do you? Are you wondering about that for yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, have you ever tried it?
Not officially.
Not out in the open.
Not out in the open.
Unofficially?
Unofficially. I've been playing with it.
Do you think that somebody could have that type of relationship for life?
Yeah, for sure. Many people do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Polyamory is totally, I believe in it. I believe it exists. I believe I know people in polyamorous relationships who are super healthy and open and honest and all that stuff.
Okay, then. How can I get my girlfriend to bring home a girl?
That's a really
tequila.
Good question.
Tequila.
Menace says alcohol. Well, does she want to? Have you
I
talked to her
she
about
does.
It? You believe she does? You got to talk to her about it first. It's not the kind of thing that
I
you
have.
Can just bring out. You have? And she said she wants to?
She says that she's into it and would be willing to try.
And okay. But, and try, yeah.
We're wondering, like, how would we hit on or pick up girls that would want both of us as a couple, not just
okay,
one of us alone.
Reed's raising his hand.
Answer.
He knows.
Know
okay,
answer.
Go ahead, Reed. We've got an expert here.
Yeah, so Andrew.
Another one.
I teach a workshop called Negotiating Successful Threesomes. And so the
of course you do.
Of course I do. The best advice I have for you is for you and your partner to talk about the kind of person, like what are the qualities of the woman that you would want to have in your bed?
What species of woman?
What species of woman are you looking to invite? And then I would recommend going to workshops or conferences or events where people who are actively practicing non-monogamy are going to, whether it's a swingers, you know, event or polyamorous event or just like, you know, general sex geeks, you know, kind of gathering. And then from that pond, start fishing for that person. You're going to get a much worse return on your investment trying to hit on the girl at the end of the bar or at your gym.
Right.
Because there's a good chance that they're not interested in a threesome. So I think you can alleviate a lot of your problems by upgrading the kind of person that you're looking for and starting with the fact that there's somebody who's already interested in open relationships or, you know, threesome type sex.
Emily, how do you lock down your threesomes?
My threesomes have all been very organic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, they weren't,
thank
they
you,
had to be negotiated. Thank you.
Yeah.
They had to be negotiated. It wasn't in a committal relate. We were all sort of fluid.
Just hanging out.
Just kind of hanging out and
drinking
all kind of
wine,
flowed.
It just happened?
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
Were you all friends or?
Yeah, we were all friends. And it was like perfect.
So that's.
I've had a, yeah.
So how would somebody lock down a threesome?
Somebody would lock down a threesome. I think by you have to discuss all this stuff ahead of time, that you have to discuss what your rules are. If you're in a committed relationship. I was not in a, none of us were committed. So that was more fluid and it worked because mm-hmm. none of us had expectations or had.
Yeah.
You know, but agreements. If you're in a committed relationship, you have to like have those talks beforehand and see like are you allowed to kiss the person? Are you going to have sex with the person?
So do you like group sex?
Group sex. I've had
or
threesomes.
Groups
yeah.
try to rehabilitate this person.
I would probably try a little bit because I'm kind of like, oh, well, maybe it was just a bad kiss the first time. I haven't had that many bad kissers in my life, really. Mm. But I know that people do. And a lot of people, they're like Menace, deal breaker, right?
Yeah, no.
Or he just doesn't kiss them. He just has sex with them and doesn't
yeah,
kiss
yeah.
them.
It's more like Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kissing?
No kissing if they're a bad kisser. Okay. Like, I'll kiss them for a little bit just to because that's what you're supposed to do. But if they're a bad kisser, then.
If they're
I mean,
bad
I'll still have sex with them,
if they're bad at fellatio, will you let them blow you?
No. No. I won't.
Okay.
I'll tell them.
See, look, standards, bottom line. Yeah. This is good. Your rules. Yeah. No bad blowjobs.
No. I'll tell them they're bad, too.
Life is too short for a bad blowjob.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true. All right. It's totally true.
So kissing for you.
Kissing is really important.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Okay. I'm running a kissing workshop.
Okay.
And I need a demo model.
What do you mean?
I need somebody to make out with to demonstrate certain kissing. It's called the full body kiss. And I think you should come in to my workshop and be my demo model if you're free. I know you're a busy person.
When is it?
Huh? It's happening later.
Okay.
It's happening tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. What do I have to do? Okay. Back up.
Yeah. See. This is good. See, you're flustered. I like this.
No, I would.
And you're quiet. So
no, I'm just thinking.
Right.
Like I'm trying to figure out what you meant by. What, full body kiss?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
What does that mean?
A lot of people think kissing is just about using their mouth, and they forget that they have a rest of the body, and they forget that their partner has a rest of the body. So the idea is some people are just bad kissers because they just don't know what to do with the rest of it, and they do all the wrong stuff with the rest of their body.
Yeah, okay.
And there's a lot to be done with the mouth and whatnot as well.
Or are you talking about like holding the face when you kiss somebody?
Yeah, how do you
like
hold
that?
The body using pressure, using body weight? There's lots of things that I get really geeky about this stuff. There's ways you can activate the pelvic floor muscles, the PC muscles, when you're making out that will enhance somebody else's experience.
Really?
Because she loves the people going down there, you know? See, I like to keep it clean.
Yeah.
She loves that.
This is a family show?
Yeah. So she
Disney.
Once you said full body kiss, that's what she's thinking.
No,
like cunnilingus.
I wasn't thinking that.
Yeah.
No, because that's
your favorite thing.
But that's a cunnilingus workshop.
I do love it.
If I wanted to do a cunnilingus workshop.
Then what is a full body kiss? You're just, what are you talking about?
Incorporating your whole body.
You'll have
do you
to come to the workshop.
Hell no, I'm not coming.
So explain to me what I have to do with this workshop.
You might learn something.
Back up. I'm your kissing model.
Yeah.
So
if you want to be.
What would I do?
You would.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the Sex with Emily show. How can we help you?
Can you hold on one second? Hold on one second. Can you agree with me that she should just try on her next date for her to just put it all out on the table in the beginning?
Sorry.
One second.
Hold on a minute,
just
please.
Just like put it out on the table exactly what she wants.
Yeah.
Like right in the beginning.
I not only do I agree, I think that most people should be trying that approach.
Right. But I'm still trying to figure it out, so I don't know that I'm...
Because you're role modeling from the get-go. Talk to me openly and honestly. Don't give me the bullshit. Don't give me the facade of what you think I want. Most people are asking for what they think they can get, not being who they are. So I'm trying to position myself so that you're attracted to me, rather than just being me, and let you figure out if you're attracted to me or
not. So you should do that on your next date.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
What do you mean?
I'm just trying to figure it out. Oh, should we last our call?
That's cool. They'll call back.
Okay.
Well, just why not try it out for just like
one
time?
Yeah, no, I will. I still think that I am. I'm not committed to saying that would want to be a non-monogamous relationship. I'm exploring it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that. Okay.
See what they say.
I'll do that. I'll do that ASAP. My next date, whenever
next
that is.
Next date, you'll say, look, I'm looking to, you know, have an exclusive relationship, but maybe I sleep with a couple other people.
I don't know.
Are you working out some fantasy here?
No, but I just want...
You can live vicariously through her.
I have been doing a radio show with this woman for 6 to 7 years now.
Yes.
And day one, I know what the hell she wants, but she will not admit it.
That's not true. It's evolved over time.
Call.
All right. You got to call her. Thank God. Saved by the caller. Hi. Welcome to the Sex with Emily show. Who am I speaking with?
Go ahead.
Hi. Is this Emily?
This is Emily.
No, it's
This Jane. Is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I have a question for Emily. Have you ever been to an orgy or in an orgy?
I've never been in an orgy before. Have you? What?
No, but has any of you?
Yes.
Reed has.
Yeah, I was in one.
Yesterday. He just came from
4 days ago.
He was zipping up his pants when he walked in the door.
It's a button fly.
Does it smell as bad as you would imagine it would?
That's a great question.
Yes.
No, it doesn't smell as bad as you would imagine it would. Your imagination will usually run, you know, and get the best of you.
You've been to orgy parties, though, right?
I've been to, like, play parties and
You've seen
sex
it
parties.
Happen.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, but I've never participated personally.
Are you curious about going to an orgy and you have concerns about what it might smell like?
Caller?
Hello?
Yeah, I would love to. I would like to go to an orgy. I think I'd like to go to an orgy with Emily. Do you want to go, Emily? Would you go?
Would I go to an orgy?
Well, first, you have to be older than 12.
I don't know who it is.
You sound like you have some issues.
No.
Yeah. You have some daddy issues. That's why you sound like you're 12 years old.
I have never been to an orgy, but I'm a little nervous about it. I've been invited.
You've been invited. You should totally go, and you should go. I don't know that I'm the person to go with you, but I think that you should go with someone that you feel safe with. Are you dating anyone?
You sent an intern on an orgy party.
I did. I sent my interns. My intern will go with you.
What should you do?
How do you start the orgy? Well, it was like a play party that they went to, and it was why are you laughing?
I'm curious. I just want to hear what
she sent it in. She sent an intern to an orgy.
Did. She asked me if she could go. It wasn't an orgy. It was like a play party, whatever. Yeah, okay.
That's
public
the same
sex.
Thing, right?
It's very similar. It's what the kids are calling play parties. Or orgies these days are play
parties.
Yeah,
you're right. Okay. The play party. So, yes. And I did send my intern there, and she had a wonderful time. But I didn't send her. She asked me if I could hook her up with something. And she had public sex for the first time, which was awesome. She had a great time. I have not done that per
but
se.
But you've seen them.
Totally
in action,
seen it. Totally seen it. Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to just see if I'm in the mood to go. I can't say I'm going to go with you, sweetie, but I think you should find a friend to go with you for sure. Someone that you feel comfortable and safe with. And go try it out.
Okay. I would like to try it.
I think you should. Thank you. Okay.
Have
bye.
Fun with that. What? No, I'm just saying.
He likes to be mean to college.
Have you been to a play party yet?
God, no.
No.
Why not?
Menace is very conservative and needs to have more experiences in his life sexually.
Why?
He's
why
very
do I
limited.
Have to do that? I know what I want. I don't need to go explore more. When you know what you want, you don't need to go explore more. Like
I
you've
concur.
Been doing forever.
No, I concur. Like you don't need to. I mean, but I think for some people, if they're curious about stuff, like first off, going to a play party doesn't mean you're going to have sex. Like voyeurism is participation.
Right.
You know, you can go to Disney World and not ride any of the rides. And I think for some people, just the titillation and the excitement of, ooh, doing something edgy or out of the box is the kind of stuff that, you know, is fun to do with a partner or you know, by yourself, just for your own, like, wow, what's the world like? And a lot of people don't give themselves that kind of permission when it comes to sex and relationships because it's going to be bad or it's going to ruin my relationship.
I think you'd like it.
A sex party? Seriously?
I don't know. I just think
why
you're closed-minded.
Like
I just want to shake you, open you up.
Why am I closed-minded? I
how
like
come
this.
You guys aren't dating? Like, what's no, the like? No. This is like a rom-com right now.
Really? Why?
7 years and living vicariously through her.
I don't live.
Is this the twist at the end of the show? You guys kiss?
I do not want to have the relationship life that she has. No way.
You're protesting a little too much.
Why? No, I'm just saying.
I'm busting your balls.
No, we're just kidding.
I'm just saying I don't want to have the same relationship because I want to find somebody that I can spend the rest of my life with. I believe in that still.
It's out there.
Yeah.
When,
good luck.
When you date
and
your
good
species.
Luck with your lifestyle.
Thanks, honey. Talk to you soon. we got to wrap this up, peeps.
Oh, why are you cutting
it
off?
We do. I'm not. I just – because we do. We're running out of time. But – I love you both. What? What were you going to say?
Nothing.
No, it's not.
I
agree. I'm just
why
saying.
Why
do
you say I'm closed-minded? Because I know what I want.
I just feel like you. Because I'm not
just
sure.
Just because
you do.
I don't want to go to wild sex parties.
I think that sexually.
And have threesomes. Well,
sexually,
I do want to have a threesome. But I'm just saying go bang multiple people, like be polyamorous.
I just think you need to explore more and not only have drunken sex. I'm just saying, mix it up.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying for you, Menace.
So,
that's all I want for you. Sex that
you
should
not
drunken.
You should find somebody. That you want to spend the rest of your life with. I'm like so tired right now.
Right.
So I get that sentence out.
Yeah, I should. But I'm probably not going to. But we'll see.
No. But you can find. Like, don't make it about duration, people. Make it about honesty and depth.
Honesty and depth.
They don't make 75-year anniversary cards anymore for the most part. Why? It's not because people aren't living long enough. You know, stop making it about duration. If you find somebody and you guys end up being a good fit for the rest of your life, awesome. I think it's more important if you have the integrity to be like, you know what? I don't think this is working anymore. I think our needs are changing, and I think we need to transition that relationship. That's having balls. And a lot of people aren't doing that,
right.
And they're miserable. And life is too short.
You brought up some very good points today about dating your species and stating what you need and what your wants are on the first date or second date.
And we get to make out in public.
And we're going to make out in public. I'm making out in public. I've never done that. I mean, I've made out in public, but not like for a workshop. right. Sign me up, right? It's the continued learning, Sex with Emily.
Yes.
Okay, everyone, that's Reed Mihalko. You can find him at Reed, R-E-I-D, aboutsex.com. Reed, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been awesome. Menace, you're cute rock star.
What?
Love you, mean it.
I always seem like you want
everyone,
to murder me.
I don't. I don't. Actually, today I don't want to murder you
okay,
at all.
Good.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.